Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This feels like a major limits turning point. Instead of, and there's nothing wrong, of course, with coming across like you're a human hummingbird. We love him for that. But today he looks like a Woodstock limits. He looks like an angry, hungover limits. He's got scruff happening. The hair's a little messed up. He's got an edge to it. He's got an edge to it.
The hair looks great, Joe.
I mean,
the voice is a little screwed up today.
I didn't say it didn't. I like it, Limits. I sense a changing of the image, and I'm damn proud of you. How are you?
Well, Joe, I woke up today, and my voice is a little scraggly.
That's only contributing to the effect, Limits. You look like Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan today. You're right out of
I'll
the
take 1960s. Chalamet. If I can look like Timothy Chalamet, I think I'll take it.
It's unreal. All right, let's get right to it this morning, because we have a very special guest. Well, it's Bob Pompeiani, who's named for the show, but today he's our guest. Right off the top, he is out golfing right now at a very prestigious place. Is it prestigious, Limits, or prestigious?
I think it's prestigious.
Prestigious. Yeah. A very prestigious place, but Bob, I do appreciate you in the middle of what's a good opportunity there, coming on to talk open, because you were all over it. How are you? Where are you? What are you doing?
Good morning, Austin. Good morning, Joe. I'm up here in beautiful Laurel Valley for the Stanley Marks Annual Golf Tournament. It's a tremendous event, raising money for what Stanley does, which is saves lives at the Hillman Cancer Center. So it's been 10 years running, and I've been a part of it for all those 10. I always call him a civic icon, and he is, because all the good work he does. So I'm currently walking to my ball on number 9, so every now and then I have to take a swing.
Please do.
Or a putt. And if you hear a swear word, please delete it, Austin.
Please, okay. But please don't throw your club like Rory, or break a tee marker like Rory, or act out like the Mad Hatter. I was Hatton, and Hatton was me, Bob. That was incredible yesterday. That guy lost his mind, Hatton, old Hatton. I love that guy.
And he kind of lost the tournament on 17 because he got, you know, Sam Burns on 15 and him on 17. I both lost their focus, I think, because they were angry with what was happening.
Yes.
But you can't be angry in those events. If you look at what J.J. Spahn did, number 2, he gets absolutely robbed. He hits the pin. Looks like it's going to go in a hole for a 2. It goes backwards 50 yards after he hit it, after hitting the stick.
Incredible.
A terrible break. But he kept his composure and he kept going.
Bob, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this golf tournament for the fact that it rewarded precision and not length, and that every time I looked up, like, I haven't watched hundreds of golf tournaments in my life, but I've never seen one where people were in worse positions more often than this golf tournament. I'd like to see a major, you know, maybe an old British Open when it was storming or something, where guys were in worse positions more often than this one. They were all like me. The Mad Hatter was in the rough. And he shot the ball from the rough to the rough. Somebody else went from rough to bunker. It was great, man. I actually loved it. I found that very compelling.
Oh, I did too, Joe. A lot of people don't find that compelling. But just if you go on a PGA Tour, what you see are birdie binge tournaments, 30 under, 28 under. They devalue the birdie and devalue the par, I think, in this event. And that's how it's set up. The USGA wants to identify the best golfer, the best ball striker, the best man who knows how to work his way through a golf course and understand the maintenance of it all, and then make good putts. J.J. Spahn did all of that. And so, yeah, those you want to see tough setups and try to avoid the rough. I thought Hatton got ahead of himself on 17 trying to drive that green. There's risk out there, but there's also some reward. But he didn't need to do it. Everyone was falling apart. Put it in the fairway, try to make a birdie that, you know, layup way. He got greedy. And when you do that, obviously you're going to pay a price. Excuse me. Sorry,
sure.
What do I got? This
is my take your time, Bob.
Let's 70 up here. I got Joe. I have 170 up here. Tony, my caddy, just told me that, so I'm going to hit a shot here.
Yeah, use a 6-iron, Bob, if you would.
No, it's
go ahead.
No, you would.
We'll wait. Limits. Did you find that compelling?
Yanked it left.
How about that? Bob is golfing while talking to us right now. How about that?
It's amazing.
Taking shots.
You yanked it left into a bunker, Bob, or what happened?
No, left of the bunker on nine. So I got a chip and putt. Hopefully I can get up and down like you used to do, Joe.
Yeah, like I used to back when I played golf. Bob, I love the fact, too, that the best guy absolutely won. The only guy who was under par, and he wins it on the longest made putt of the tournament. It was very poetic. It was very just. That's what I felt. I felt like justice was served in this golf tournament. I loved it. Where were you for Spahn's putt, and what'd you make of it?
Well,
and of him.
Well, you're absolutely right about justice because, you know, he made 401 feet of putts in this tournament. That was by far the most of anyone. And again, it goes to show you about how important putting is. That one on the last hole, I don't think, you know, he got a good read by Victor Hovland, right, who went first ahead of him.
Yeah.
But even so, that is a drastically left-to-right putt, and he knows that he has to two-putt. He doesn't have to make it. But a two-putt, you know how it is. Sometimes you lag it and you're short, and then you have a five-foot knee knocker that could mean a difference of $2 million in pay. So the fact that it went in was shocking. And I thought it was going to go beyond the hole about 5 feet. It would have left him with one of those putts, but kudos to him. Birdie finish. I don't care how you do it. They don't ask how. They just ask how many.
Man, I'll say that was a great ending to a tournament. It really was. I loved it. What do you know of this guy, Bob? And were you stunned that he won?
Well, I think the experience he had back in March at the Players' Championship, Joe, had a lot to do with it because he played well. That's the Players. All the best players in the world are there. He found out that he belonged. He went into a playoff with Rory McIlroy and lost, but you know, that experience, I think, served him extremely well. And all I know is that he's one of those grinders. He's been around. He's 34 years old. And he's a guy who keeps working at it. He loves, his caddy said, that he enjoys bigger challenges. He wants courses like that. If you look at his history, he plays well on those kinds of horses. So I think it was all made for him that day, and he didn't shy away from the stage. That's a tough stage to be on, especially when you know you got to do something like that on 17 and 18.
Bob Pompiani, live from Laurel Valley, getting ready to chip on which hole, Bob?
Number nine.
Number nine. How's your front nine been? You shooting well?
Up and down. You know, I think I'm
going to break 7 over.
And if you could tell, I'm walking up a hill, so you're going to hear some huffing and puffing, but that's okay.
That's perfectly okay, Bob, and I found golf to be very good for my health. What about Rory?
So say hello to Tony. Tony, say hello to Joe and Austin.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Austin.
Hello, Tony.
Tony's going to line me up here on a putt on number nine. And it is an undulated green here. Got a lot of swale, the Virgin Connie swale.
Well, you let me know when you have to take your chip, Bob.
Keep talking. That's all right.
Why is Rory such a jerk? He almost upstaged this. You know, we tried to be very good hosts this whole city of Pittsburgh, and this jerk acted like he didn't want to be here. Here's his final quote from his media address. I think the only one he did, maybe. I know he skipped at least two.
He did the first one on Tuesday, I think, but then after that, not much.
Right. This one was Saturday, and somebody asked him at the end of a contentious little back and forth, hey, what are you looking forward to on Sunday? This is what Rory said.
What are you looking for tomorrow?
Well, I hit a good chip shot.
You know, hopefully I round in under 4.5 hours and get out of here.
That was it. And that was about the nicest thing he said. What's wrong with this guy, Bob? And he's breaking tee markers? He should have been penalized for that. What a horrible showing. And he almost upstaged the tournament by acting like such a jerk.
Yeah, I agree with that. He and Lowry both. Shane Lowry shot 17 over, was complaining about everything. They need some Irish whiskey to calm them down, I guess. But, you know, Rory, I think he really has a lot of issues going on in his family life, not specific about what they are. But and when that happens and there could be tension there, it does affect you. But he's taking it out on the wrong people. They need to fix whatever problem is internal there. He needs to get his focus back on the game. He was very agitated. As you said, 17, he broke the tee marker. That's not the look you want. And I don't think he ever really apologized for it. I would have. So he's got some issues. And I thought, Joe, he won the career Grand Slam back when he won the Masters. And I thought that would free him up because then you have a situation where all that he was chasing that for a decade, he finally got it. And you would have said to yourself, well, now he's free. He plays loose. If anything, he's gotten worse. And I think it has to do with his family. And I'm not sure exactly what family issues he has, but he has something going on that goes beyond golf.
Well, maybe
I'm lining up this putt here.
Okay.
Hold on.
Take your time. This is
dramatic.
Am I
going to make it?
Limits.
Fast? 50-50 putt. Okay.
He could announce it like Jim Nantz, his own putt.
Oh!
And Bob Pompiani just hits it right at the pin.
It just creeped right at the hole.
I tell you what, Jim, that was a golden opportunity for Bob.
Are you watching this on video advantage. Limits? You called it perfectly.
No, I'm just taking a guess.
I thought I hit a good putt there. Tony will confirm that. It just didn't go in. It's one of those putts. I didn't break a tee marker, Joe, in Austin. I didn't do that.
Nothing wrong with a bogey at Laurel, Bob. I'm very proud of you.
Bob, did you hear what happened to Jack Hillgrove and I on Sunday?
No.
We came 2 feet, maybe three, from getting absolutely crushed by a ball that was hit by James Nicklaus on 18. We were standing there with Jeremiah Miller, your good buddy from good buddy of KDKA TV.
Jeremiah, he's the man down there, yep.
So Jack says, oh, guys, we have one coming our way. Half a second later, we can hear the whistle of the ball going right past us.
Wow.
It hits our buddy Carter Newcomb in the butt off one hop. And then
Carter Newcomb goes down.
Carter Newcomb was hit. Luckily, everybody was okay. But Nicholas, not to be confused with Jack Nicholas's grandson, came over and was like, is everybody okay? I expected to see somebody like sprawled out on the ground right now after hitting that ball, because he hit it clearly into the rough, like closer to like the cart path on 18, Bob. But
well,
good to report everybody's okay.
They come at you with a lot of velocity, so you better be on your – you know, if you're in the path of one of those shots, it's good you avoided it, although Carter didn't do it. So does he have a bruise that he'll talk about forever?
Possibly. He was a very nice guy, though, yeah. Mr. Nicholas.
Did you run into Bob over at Oak
No,
Park?
I never saw him. But I did get to meet Richie Walsh. I had never
did
met
you?
Richie before.
Now, how did that go? Did
yeah, you
walk you
told
up?
Me that. That's good.
Did you introduce yourself?
I'm here at the halfway shop here now. We have Kelly, Jill, two of the best. I'm about to order a transfusion. Can I do that on radio?
Yeah, Ron started drinking 3 hours ago. Why can't you?
transfusion, Bill.
What, Bob?
Why not? What?
May I continue
I'm just
asking?
Ordering my drink.
This has become chaotic.
A little bit.
No, it's fine. I just had to order it before we get to the first seat. The fancy, whatever it was, where we started.
I understand.
Thank you very much, Jill. If you ever come to Laurel, Kelly and Jill are terrific. They make everything happen out here. By the way, should I give a shout out to Curtis Aiken Jr.? I'm playing with him. He has two natural birdies on the front nine. How about that?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. So, Bob, back to Rory for a second. You mentioned the career Grand Slam, and it felt like people, maybe even people who don't like him that much, were all behind him. Like, everybody supported this guy. It felt like the entire golf world was happy for him, and he's repaid that by being spiteful and angry. And I can't be the only person in this town who took offense to how he treated everything this week. It was BS. You know, just get me out of here, basically, because he played like crap and all the things that he did. I didn't appreciate it, and I'm just surprised after the whole world seemingly supported him so much.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, I have to say this. I'm not trying to defend his actions because they're indefensible. Because you're trying to, you know, there's an etiquette food out here too that you have to abide by, but he, you know, he's had the weight of the world on him. He was sort of the spokesperson for the PGA when LIV first started, so he had all of that responsibility on it. He was like involved in all the meetings, still is. And again, I gotta believe there's something more to this. I think there's a family issue. I've heard some people say that there's something going on there. But again, that's not the way to handle it. There's a place and a time for it. And Oakmont, which did everything in its power to make that place beautiful, which it was. Can't control the rain. Just take the high road on this. And he didn't do it. He instead went the other way. So I was disappointed by that as well.
Wyndham Clark apparently went nuts on a locker in the locker room, Bob. Did you happen to see the damage? And what do you make of that situation?
Bob, he's going to have to stay at the Wyndham next time. He's not going to be able to stay at
like
the clubhouse.
Horse?
Yes. Like that one, horse?
I like that one.
Like
he could
that.
Have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. What'd you think of that,
well,
Bob?
He might next time. I heard about it. I didn't see it. But again, no reason for that. What's he going to do? He played badly. You know, all these guys who want to complain about him, they lost focus. Again, getting back to what you said originally, Joe, they're trying to identify the best player, and that means focus on every shot. Hard to do with rain the way it was coming down. They're rough. But give Spahn credit. He did that. And he won the war of attrition. Clark is a good player. You know, I don't know what he expected of himself, but I thought he lost focus on three different shots that I saw. So If you do that and you want to blame everybody else or blame the course or blame the USGA, go ahead. They're not going to change. The USGA does what it does. These scores are consistent, Joe, with what they've done in previous U.S. Opens here.
Right.
You know, plus one, minus one. In 16, it was minus four, but only four golfers were under par. They want you to battle out there. So you know that coming in. It's fair for everybody. You may not think so if you're in the middle of it, you get agitated, but, bottom line is I thought it was a wonderful event. I thought Oakmont looked great. Mike McCormick, the superintendent, did a great job. I thought the USGA set it up beautifully.
Little Sammy Burns melted down like me at Hickory Heights, Bob. I can't say, I didn't enjoy it necessarily, but I could certainly relate. You could just read it on his face. And then there was the water on the ground incident. He seemed to want to get relief there, which would have given him, obviously a better lies, which what he was looking for. There were people who hit out of much worse conditions than he was in. What did you make of that little situation? Do you think they should have awarded it?
I'm going to be in the minority and say no. He asked for one ruling. They said no. He got a second one because he didn't like the first ruling, and they said no. Everyone on that golf course had splintered shots. If you watch,
yes,
for example, Robert McIntyre in 18, his shot splashed as soon as he made contact, but it didn't stop him putting on the green, two putting, and finishing four under from hole three on. So, that's all part of it. If he let that bother him, which I think he did because he yanked it into a bunker and then took a double bogey on that hole, that's on him. That's not on the USGA. Don't blame them. Blame yourself.
I think that's probably the majority opinion, actually. Bob, I got to ask you about this. Watching Spahn afterward, my wife was noticing he's not paying a lot of attention to his wife. And then social media explodes. Of course, I'm oblivious to this all. Did he not thank his wife at the post-game news conference? Limits, were you watching this?
Yeah, I was.
Did you sense people commenting on it?
I didn't get that sense at all. I kind of sensed a guy that was just in the moment, was trying to take everything in. Obviously, that's a huge part of it. But I wonder if Bob,
were they fighting, Bob?
I wonder, did he kind of have a blackout moment where you just kind of think of the first couple of things that come to your mind?
Well, it wasn't just that. It was later on at his news conference where he thanked everybody under the sun and except his wife. I was hugging the caddy. I don't know, Bob, honestly, but people were all over it. We know how these things go. Sometimes you have a fight one night and things linger, even if you win the U.S. Open. Was there any talk of that? And what'd you make of it?
No, I didn't hear anything on that. From what I can tell, he's a great family man. I'm going to hit a tee shot here on number 10 while I talk to you.
Good luck.
I also think if you looked at that hole on number 18 when he finished.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That was pretty good, I think.
That sounded good, Bob.
That sounded good.
That's in the fairway.
Ooh. No, but I think what happened after the 18th hole, he putted and made his putt. Because of that, he wanted to shush the crowd because Victor Hovland still had a putt, which was worth about $800,000.
For sure.
He was trying to get in. So his wife was there, and he's just like, shh, don't make noise, all this stuff.
For sure. And I don't think that's really – that may have led some people to say some things, but I think it was even everything after that. I don't know. All I can say is that people were noticing that it seemed a little weird. That's all. Even after that, and then at the news conference,
is, though.
Huh?
Well, that I did not see that entire news conference. Rich was there for us, and I didn't see it. So I don't know if he did or didn't make mention. But I don't. I'm not going to draw any conclusions based on that. I thought what he did on a team was trying to be proper for Hovland to make a putt, and it was a very big putt for him. So
for sure.
Beyond that, I don't know. But social media, you know how it goes. It runs its own life.
And then marriage, we know how that goes too, Bob, right?
Absolutely.
Could be something lingering. Listen, the night before, apparently, his kid was sick, so he had to go to CVS at 3 a.m. Is that how the story goes?
Yeah, apparently so, and that is even more credit to him. I think that rain delay helped him also, by the way.
He was
kind of not playing his best, and I think he may have even talked about that. But you get a little break like that. kind of regroup, reset, and he was focused. He made so many putts on the back nine. The one on 12 was huge.
Unbelievable.
And that was a long one, too. So
he changed
his... I keep telling you, when you go to the range, you're wasting your time. You have a good swing. Go to the putting area. Chip putt, putt, get that part of the game down. That's where the money is.
I can't even get off the tee, Bob, and I'm quitting. Anything else stand out from what you saw? Any other big story we didn't get to? Because I want to let you go there and enjoy your round of golf.
Yeah, I thought McIntyre was a good story because of the way he started, too. He had bogey, par, bogey, and then he goes and shoots four under the rest of the way, and he's sitting in the clubhouse thinking that maybe he has a chance to win the thing while sitting in the clubhouse. And he almost, I mean, he could have, if not for Spahn doing what he did. So that kid has a lot of game. He's a lefty. He has no fear out there. He's one of those guys who just, whatever it is, they'll tell you the layup. He says, no, I'm going for it. I'm just going to, I believe in my swing. I thought he was a great story. And, of course, we began this whole week with Matt Vogt. And I thought how he handled himself, shooting 82, 81. And then he donated tickets for people who couldn't get in on Father's Day. Such a classy guy, Joe, as you know. And I felt so good for him that he had an opportunity to show off his game and also help his dental business. I think he's going to get a big boost for that.
I think so, too. They'll be all smiles, Bob. Lastly,
all smiles, baby.
Lastly, and most importantly, how many people commented on the show and how many people invited us to play golf? And did you sort of categorize and record those so we can actually cash in here, Bob?
Honestly, if I had one, I told you 10,000 people ask about it, talk about your game. And invitations. I have 10 different invitations that I took note of.
Oh my God. Wow.
But the fact that you now quit, you said, means they're nothing. So you can't even accept them.
Oh. I'm back to playing, Bob.
Bob, when I go away with my friends this week, I'm leaving on Wednesday. We are golfing, and they asked me, would you like to golf? And I took a breath, and I said, you know what? And this is exactly what I told them. Bob Pompiani told me I need to get into golf, so yes, I will golf.
Give it a shot.
What tips would you give me, Bob?
It benefits you so greatly about playing or just the game. The game opens up doors that you can never imagine. Joe will testify to that.
It could also destroy your life, Bob, as it has mine, but go ahead.
If you allow it to be, see? No.
Because he's addicted.
The best thing you do, just swing and don't have fun for now. And if you're going to work on it in time. You won't get it for a long time. It's a hard sport to get. I've been doing it my whole life, and I still do stupid things, so. But it's a great way to spend the day. Social activity part of it is great. And if you go to a place that lucky enough has great hot dogs like Oakmont and Transfusions, which are better than most, you'll have a fun time, Austin. So enjoy it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great day of golf. And let's cash in on some of those invites, huh?
I'll tell you tomorrow what they are.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. See you guys.
Nicest man who ever lived, Limits. He's so nice. He's saying goodbye to Limits and chatting him up from the golf course. They're still talking.
We were still talking, yes.
What did Bob still have to say?
He was saying sorry for something. And I was like, I think he's talking to the guy on the course with him. But I was like, bye, Bob.
That's the level of niceness is almost unquantifiable. It's like Jerry DePaula. He steps on your toe and he says sorry. That's how nice they are, Limits. That's the sound of Bob's driver.
That was Bob's swing.
Boy, that's perfect, huh?
Yes, it was.
He liked that. He liked that a lot. Were you watching yesterday?
Yes. Well, I mean, I was there until the weather delay.
Oh, my God. I forgot you were actually there.
Yeah, I was there. I was there for a good portion of the day. I actually followed Rory for a little bit.
Wait, you weren't there for 18? You weren't there for the winning putt?
I was not, no.
You left?
I went home for Father's Day. I made a promise to be back for Father's Day dinner.
Yep.
So we were watching it on TV.
The rain delay did it, and it reminded me of a famous rain delay from our lives. I'm talking our family's lives and one certain team, the old Devil Dogs, at the World Series in Columbus. I don't know, the kids, what was that, 14U, 12U? Maybe it was 12U. And we were rolling on Championship Sunday. Absolutely rolling toward possibly a championship.
That's Championship Sunday for you.
We win our first two or three games on Sunday, and then we're leading this really good team from I don't know where, and then a wicked rain delay. A wicked freaking rain delay for at least an hour, probably significantly more than that. We came back. It was never the same. That's what happened yesterday, and we lost that game.
That's exactly what happened in the 2016 World Series when the Cubs and the Indians played against each other, and then they had that whole speech. Who was it that had the huge speech for Chicago? David Ross or something?
David Ross, yeah.
That fired them up and motivated them to win that game in seven, yeah.
It can happen.
It can.
I mean, when momentum is going a certain way, good or bad, and there's that long of a delay, it's like you woke up the next day and played. Like, everything's different. And I love the fact that Spawn changed his outfit and everything else. He's like, forget about that. He started horribly and horribly unlucky. The shot that hit the flag and rolled back, how far did it roll back? 100 yards?
Bob said about
more?
50, 60 yards. Well, he bogeyed, what, four of the first five holes? He had five fives to start.
That can help or hurt. Yeah. It hurt other guys. Poor little Sammy Burns, like I said. I was looking at him saying, that's me. And then I was looking at the Mad Hatter, Hatton, who was slamming his club into the turf and just freaking out. I'm like,
I loved it.
I love this guy.
I loved the emotion. I mean, because he could just, you could just tell that he knew that it was slipping out of his hands and that he was just losing it shot by shot. I do think, and I actually, Bob and I were going, not back and forth, but he tweeted back at me on Twitter about the Burns drop. I thought that Burns should have been allowed a drop there. I mean, that water.
No way.
That
like
water
Bob
was
said, there were 100 other guys over the day. Well, there weren't 100 guys there. I'm exaggerating. A lot of other guys had to shoot at a worse condition.
That seemed like the worst, because there was a golf. There was a golf reporter that actually went to the exact spot, took a video, and was like moving his foot around in that area, and you could just see the water gushing up, and then went to the opposite side of the fairway. And there was, it was like nothing. It was like
then,
no water. Then hit, all the water
then hit
had
to the opposite side of the fairway, or hit a better shot. I don't know.
Other players have been granted drops.
Who? Yesterday?
There were multiple players. I can't pick an instance exactly out of my mind.
In a situation like that, where you're already on a pretty good lie,
I thought there was. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. But what I do want to hear, Limits, you were there. How many days?
I was there Friday, and I was there on Sunday.
I want to hear sights and sounds of Oakmont. If anybody saw Limits, I'd like you to call the show.
We did have a guy, when I was walking back from the bathroom, go, City Limits.
Let's do that.
Like, hello.
I love that. Let's do that next. Okay. Sights and sounds from Oakmont, from our friend City Limits. And if any of you spotted him, 928-9370, or your sights and sounds, if you were out there, because it looked to be quite memorable. I want to know if Limits brushed up with any famous people other than Richie Walsh. I want to know, well, he already told us he almost got hit by a ball. I want to know what his strategy was for watching golf. We're also going to talk later about Crowley completely losing his mind on the morning show.
Oh, boy.
Just lost his mind. Also, the Pirates. I believe we did an over-under for infield homers this season. And there's never been a better bet than the under. Limits, did you save our time capsule by any chance? You must have,
yes.
Right? I mean, that was the whole idea of a time capsule, is to save it.
Wasn't it like, what, 42?
I think it may have been 35 and a half.
Oh,
but
boy.
I want you to find that for later in the show, because there's a lot of Pirate stuff to talk about. But up next, sights, sounds, stories from Oakmont. Do you agree with me out there that I found Rory to be very insulting, really, to the town that hosted this tournament, which is our town? I found him to be incredibly insulting. Like, get me the blank out of here. You know, just a baby breaking things on the course. Now, I've done that, but I've never broken a tee marker. I only damage my own property.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.